Hello, and welcome back to the Way UK podcast. Today, we're rebranding. We're going to be called Sat on the Couch Podcast.
Because we're on a couch.
Because we're on a couch, and it's just two of us today. Hello. This is quite fun. This is quite rare to do this, isn't it? We're not actually rebranding, just a heads up.
No.
But I'm joined by the wonderful co-host, Xenia.
Hello.
Any initial words of wisdom today? Wisdom of the day.
Shakarabo, shakarabi, shakarababy.
Do I have the interpretation?
What do you think I said?
Do you know what? That's up for the listeners to interpret.
Oh, come on. Let's go.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us in our next episode of the Galatians series. Ooh. We've looked at one. We've looked at two. We've looked at three.
Oh, hello.
And we've landed at four. I've loved the past two. I wasn't on the first one, but I was on two and three, and they were awesome.
Galatians is a great book.
It is a great book. You kind of don't really have to add much. You can just read it.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to you.
Which is basically what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to read it.
But I would say if you haven't watched the others, might be worth looking back because it does kind of go on a flow throughout the chapters.
Yeah.
It's not broken up, so every different chapter is a different teaching. It's actually quite similar. It's got a lovely flow to it. So let's crack on and let's read the Bible. Do you want to start us then? Maybe one to seven.
I can do that. Okay, guys, let's get into it. Okay, so just to let you know, we're following on from a train of thought. So think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his younger children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardian until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own son. And since you are his children, God has made you his heir. That feels very sweet.
It does feel sweet.
I love it.
Do you want to expand on the Xenia James translation and add what you think to it?
What do I think? I think that the language of like being slaves to sin and like slaves to the law and like all of this stuff is really interesting. I think what Paul's saying is like when we use, if you watch the other few episodes, you'll know this concept of the law, which we keep talking about, the law of Moses, like all this stuff, which is basically like in the Old Testament, the Israelites had these set of like laws that were passed down from God to Moses to like give to the people. And they were like, what you could eat, like what you should wear, like how you should offer sacrifices. And it was like a long list of stuff. And it got to a point where like people felt trapped by this law, like they had to hold every single one. And like, it just became this like work, this rhythm of work to like earn God's love. And you can get trapped in that and almost become like a slave to that. Like you're just in this system of thought. But actually because of Jesus, like we don't need to be on this rabbit wheel, like this rabbit trail of like work to earn God's love. Actually, like because of Jesus, we are children of God. Like we are free from the confinements of the law and we can actually just live in the identity of being a son and being a daughter of God. So I think that's what Paul's saying, which is like super freeing. Yeah. Like already I just feel like, wow, I don't have to do, I can just be.
It sounds kind of like unfamiliar, the language, doesn't it? Like the law and like sonship and like some of that stuff is okay, I get that in my own terms nowadays. Like the law is like something I shouldn't break and sonship is just who I am because I was born into a family, right? But it's actually a very present issue, I think, in the church world and in the Christianity circles. In chapter 3, Paul is combating the Galatian church because he says, who's bewitched you that you might fall back under the law and start falling back under the old ways?
Yeah.
And the whole chapter is about how, like what it truly means to be a Christian, which is living not by works, not by perfection, but living by faith. choosing to believe in God, holding that, and then out of that, being like being Christian. And again, it's not only affirming this thing, like you're no longer under the law, you're now sons. It adds this extra layer. It's not just you don't choose the law, you choose faith, but it's by choosing faith that you now get to receive what's called like sonship. You're adopted. My translation says we might receive adoption as sons. We're no longer just working for God's love, nor are we just simply choosing to live by faith, but we actually get invited to a bloodline, invited to a family. And I think that's just so beautiful. And I think this is so Paul's heart. I mean, he used to be one of the most religious people to point of persecuting Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he keeps coming back to this message. No, you don't fall back under that. Don't fall back under trying to work for God's love, because you're sons. It's like there's often this term that people use in preaching called fridge rights.
I've never heard of that.
You've never, what? Are you kidding me?
I don't know what that is.
I've like heard it a million times. Fridge rights.
That's do you like a fridge?
When you go home after a long day of school,
mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you do?
Go to the fridge.
Is it?
Get foods.
Go to the fridge and get food.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in someone else's house, do you go to the fridge and get food? Just
no.
Without asking. No, that's not possible. But when you're invited into a family, and when you're a son of the house or a daughter of the house, you have permission to just go and grab, to just go and be, to not have to ask and not have to kind of tiptoe around because it's not really your house. You have an inheritance, and part of that includes the fridge. And I think that's the kind of like, I don't know, that illustration is often used to illustrate how we can be around God the Father's house. Like we can either tiptoe around like, oh, am I meant to be here? I better make sure I don't break the rules and accidentally take too much of this in the fridge. But it's like, actually, no, as a son, you get to walk around with confidence. You're meant to be there and you can just go and grab anything you want.
Mm.
It's like a whole identity piece.
But then I feel like so many of us, like, we still live like we're orphans when we're around God and when we're in his presence. Mm. And even in our prayer life, like sometimes I'm like, am I asking for too much?
Mm.
Like, God, oh, I've asked for this before. Like, am I really going to pray for this again? Or like, oh, I don't know if I can do that because last week I messed up. So like, can I really come to God and ask for forgiveness now? And like, we can still live in that like orphan mentality of like, no, this isn't my house yet. Like, I'm not comfortable. I'm not in yet. But actually, like, that's such a lie. Like, we are. Like, if you believe in God, you believe in what Jesus has done on the cross and you live in that, of course, like all of that inheritance is yours. You can pray for anything. Even like James 1:5, it's like you can ask God for wisdom. He won't rebuke you.
Mm.
Like you can ask for anything. Like Jesus always talks about like anyone who knocks, the door will be open. You know, seek and you'll find. Like that invitation is an opening. It's not conditional based on how well you did last week that you can now go into the fridge this week and get whatever you want. Like the fridge is always open. Like the offer is always there. And it's not based on what we do. It's because of who God is and how much he loves us. It's because he's our Abba, you know, as it says in verse 6, which I actually did want to touch on that. Cause I think reading that you can be like, what the heck does that even mean? And why has God given a spirit inside of us that calls out Abba? Like, what does that mean? I don't know if you had any thoughts about what that might mean and how that relates to us.
I mean, I do have some thoughts. I've also got some other thoughts. If you've got thoughts on the Abba Father piece, you should go there. Because I have another point I'll go to in a minute.
Well, I was actually looking into it and it was saying how the term Abba in the Aramaic, it translates to how a small child calls his father. So it's like quite an intimate like way of like saying like dad. Mm. We call out because we aren't hesitate to speak affectionately to God. Like it says that the Spirit cries out or calls out. And even in Romans 8, it talks about how like the Holy Spirit like groans on our behalf, intercedes on our behalf. Like there's a spirit inside of us that like connects with the Lord, because it is the Lord's, like, you know, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, as Paul said a couple of chapters ago. And I think that's beautiful. Like there's something within us that calls out to our Creator, something so innate. And actually, like, kind of like a separate point, but I was talking to my mum about this a couple of weeks ago, and we were saying how, you know, when people go through like the most dark time of their life, the first thing that they do is they call out to God, whether they're a believer or not. There's like this thing in every human being that just knows that when I'm at my end, I have to call on God. Mm. And I believe that's like even rumblings of that spirit. Like we all know that we've been created, whether we identify with that or not, whether we're like, I agree with this. We all know inherently that we've been created by a creator. Mm. Otherwise, why in dark times do we all cry out to God? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that's just evidence of the fact that there is that inside every, like, you know how the scripture says that God's put eternity on the inside of the human heart. I feel like that's that. It's that groaning to know God and to have that relationship. And so like, maybe you've listened to this podcast and you're thinking, oh wow, there has been times where actually like when it got really bad for me, I did cry out to God. Mm. Maybe there's something there. Like maybe explore that. Cause I think that's the Lord calling you.
And I think that this like concept of Father, it's just way more like in the Bible than we realize.
Yeah.
It affects our prayer life. It affects what we do with our time. It affects everything, how we view God and how we view our Father God. And I was thinking about when Jesus taught us how to pray. He says, our Father in heaven. It's one of the first things he teaches us, this sonship message. You read Romans 8, it's all about like stepping into the spirit of adoption and crying out, Abba, Father. There's so much surrounding what it is to be with God the Father. And I think one story that came to mind as I was just thinking about this passage is the one in Luke 15, the prodigal son. And if you've
loved that,
if you've been around church for any time, you would have heard this message. But I think it's just such a good representation of one, a great father, but also how we can be as sons.
Mm.
You know, you've got the one son who claims the inheritance, basically says like, Dad, you're as good as dead to me, runs off, wastes it all and comes home super shameful.
Yeah.
And you see this example of the dad in the story representing God the Father, lifting up his robe and running after the son. And I find it crazy because the son wasn't at the house yet. He hadn't knocked on the door. The son had planned a speech like, Dad, I'll be a slave under you again. I just want to be under your house again.
Yeah.
He was expecting the dad to reject him because of his shame and because of what he'd done. He was expecting to have to walk all the way to the house, knock on the door and plead for mercy. But instead he was met with a father who ran after him, said, even though you wasted the first inheritance, let's give you a second party.
Wow.
And that's God the Father. And I think we can be that way as children of God, as Christians. We can be so caught up in what we've been doing, in sin, in shame, that we feel like because we know that we've been sinful, we can't even come to God. We've got to figure it out. And God says, come to my porch, and once you've got it sorted, and then I'll be with you. That's not what God says.
Yeah.
He says, I'll run to you. And I think that's like a first message. God is desiring you specifically and running after you specifically, despite your shame. But then I think we can also learn from the second brother, because the second brother doesn't run away, but he also misses out.
Right.
Because he's so caught up doing things. He's caught up working in the field. He even says, like, you know, when he comes into the party after the brother comes home, he was angry and refused to go in. And he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your commands. Yet you never even gave me a goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And then the dad's reaction. But when this son of yours came who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the dad said, son, you are always with me and all that is mine is yours.
Wow.
I think that son missed out on stepping into the inheritance of sonship because he was so caught up doing things for him. He was so caught up obeying and serving. Maybe me and you need to hear that. We serve in church a lot. and it's like, it's great to serve in church. Like, it's awesome to serve in church. But if that's at the expense of understanding your sonship and being able to sit in the house and have fridge rights and know love without doing, then it's worth it. Like, it's worth stopping for a bit. It's worth pausing for a bit and just remembering the first love and going back to the house with the father, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I can be both, to be honest. I can be so shameful and hide away, but I can also be the brother who's so caught up doing things that we forget to be with God.
And also he was so caught up on, oh, but look at the love that he's getting. My brother's getting, my brother gets the fat and calf and he gets all that stuff. What about me?
Mm.
It's that comparison element as well, like looking at what other people have, what other people are getting. That can also rob you of seeing what God is doing in your own life.
Mm.
And so like, we always talk about it on the pod. I feel like we always talk about comparison because it's just such a thing.
Because we compare to each other
all the time. Yeah. Lol.
I wish I could have space buns like that. Jokes.
No, this guy. But guys, don't compare yourself and what God is doing in other people's life to what God is doing in your own, because then you miss that. Like, you are a son, you are a daughter, like you have that inheritance, you are a co-heir with Christ. Like, God is doing something uniquely in you. Don't look at what God is doing in somebody else, because you're only gonna just not see what he's doing in you, which is so valid. So yeah.
That's so good.
Yes.
And I think this next like whole chapter, to be honest, all it's doing is reaffirming this point of like sonship, reaffirming this point of not falling under things of the law and of the flesh, but falling under things of faith and God. But we'll continue to read through it and talk about it a little bit, because there's some slightly confusing languages and some confusing bits. So maybe I'll start reading from the ESV. I'll do 8 to 12.
That's good.
Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. Very interesting.
He just came for them.
I love that Paul kind of turns back on what he says. But now that you've come to know God, or actually, rather, to be known by God.
That was saucy. He didn't have to add that. That like, was saucy.
Well, that's the whole message again.
Mm.
It's not that we have to come to know God. Yes, we have to like accept him into our lives and we have a choice to choose him. But the whole story of the gospel is not we have to try and come to God. It's that God chooses to know us. It's that we get to step into being known by God, not step into try and know God.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And out of that, so good. What's the fruit of that? Yeah, great. We get to know God and know his character and we get to look like that. But it's all about stepping into an inheritance that's already been paid for.
Mm. Do you know what this kind of reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of, and we'll get onto like the whole like Abraham and all that stuff and Sarah, which we did speak about last episode. So you should check that out. But I'm back in the story of Abraham with like Lot, and how when Lot was fleeing the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, like he took his wife with him and God told her not to turn back.
Mm.
And she turned around and became a pillar of salt. She became calcified in her past, which God was trying to get her to leave, like to run from. And it's interesting how Paul talks about how before, when you were under the culture, you were like obeying to what the culture thought. But now that you're in Christ, like why are you turning back? And it almost reminded me of Lot's wife, like, if you keep turning back to the thing that God's trying to free you from, you'll get lost in it. You'll actually get stuck there and calcified. And like, I'm just reminded of the fact that God has saved me from so much.
Mm.
Why would I turn back and go back to the thing that he's delivered me from and he's taken me out of? The old patterns of thinking or cycles of comparison or all that stuff. Why am I turning back and going back to the things of old when God's trying to do a new thing? And that's not easy to do, but it's something to be aware of. And I think Paul writes this for the church to become aware, like be aware of the nudges and the inklings and the feelings you have that draws you to your old life or draws you to the things that you used to say or the things you used to do. Like be aware of that and like put boundaries in place so that you don't go back there, because God's trying to do a new thing. But if we keep running back to the old, like, we'll never experience the new.
It's good.
So yeah, I think, I feel like that's like calling us higher and calling us to like actually know there's a new standard and like we have the freedom to live in that.
Well, I mean, going back to Galatians 3, who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
It's like, again, like who's called you back to where you were?
That's so good.
Like I introduced truth to your story. I brought truth to your place. And you're just falling back to the old ways. I mean, it even says in chapter 4, what we've just read, like, how can you turn back to the weak and worthless principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? Like, why do you want to be that? Have I labored in vain for that?
Called
like,
out.
Like, Paul's given lots to this community, and he's gone away for a bit, and they've all turned away and are living under slavery again, under the ways of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just desperate to see them free because he knows what it is to live under the law, and he knows it's not an option. He knows that that didn't bring freedom.
Yeah.
And so he's again, like, just encouraging the church, like, calling them out every 2 minutes. And he called Peter out in Galatians 2 as well. Do you remember that?
Paul's on smoke, I'll be honest.
Paul's fiery.
He's actually on smoke. But I also love that he did that because it's like, it's not just, you know, us common folk that get called out and our leaders never do. You know, we're all on the same level in the eyes of God. Mm. Like, we're all called to the same standard. And I also love how he says in verse 12, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. So again, what you said, Jesse, like, Paul knows what it is to live under the law and to taste the freedom that comes from being in relationship with God, grace through faith, like we talked about last week, like last episode. And he's like, guys, not live like me because I'm Paul, but live like me because of what I've experienced. Like, live this way because living under the law just ain't it. Like, it's not productive for us.
No, it's so good. Amen. Oh, you said it again. What did it mean this time?
It meant, let's move on to the next part. Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. What that meant. I feel like we're flying.
Do you want to read it? 13 to 20?
I can.
What version is that, by the way?
This is the NLT.
Did you hear that? Little voice crack.
Yeah. I wanted to look past it, but...
No, you have to name it. It's better to name it than not.
To name it.
Sonship, Fridge Rights. Fridge. I know who I am, Son of God. If I have a voice crack, doesn't change that.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go, tell him. All right, guys. Verses 13 to 20, it says, surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. Mm. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is the joyful and grateful spirit you felt then?
Ooh.
Where is it?
Oh.
I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth?
Mm.
This guy... Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. That's crazy.
But I'm perplexed about you as well.
Oh, no.
I'm really shocked.
This guy is in his
feelings. He can't believe it.
He's in
his feelings. It's like, what the heck happened?
The labor pains. I mean, like...
He's sassy as well, isn't it?
He's got that sass, but also he's like, what the heck is going on? Like, one minute I'm with you guys and we're all doing this Jesus thing and it's great. The next minute I'm hearing that people are out here trying to live by the law. Like, what the heck? I never told you guys to do that. This guy's absolutely livid.
It's actually quite funny. I feel like...
But at this distance, I don't know how else to help you.
Like, it removes the crate. Like, yeah, he's mad at them.
Yeah.
And he's rebuking them. But also, like, I don't know, even reading it, I'm like laughing a little bit because I'm like, oh man, it's not actually that deep. It's just about getting back on track. Who's bewitched you? Like, some of the language is just hilarious. He's perplexed about you.
Mm.
I just find it so funny.
I find it funny because, like, I've also felt this way in terms of when I receive correction, I don't like it. And I love that Paul asked them in verse 16, have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth?
Hey.
I don't think he's saying that like, you guys are treating me like an enemy. But what he's saying is, just because I'm correcting you doesn't mean I'm not on your side. In fact, it means I am on your side because I actually want you guys to get the true gospel. So actually I'm going to call you higher and I'm going to call out the stuff that you're not doing well in love, that you would be able to hear the truth and live by it. And there's even the scripture in the Bible. It's in so many parts. I think there's one in Hebrews, there's one in Proverbs, there's one in Psalms as well. And it says that God corrects those who he loves. Correction doesn't feel good. You know, this word rebuking, like being told off or whatever, like that does not feel good. But actually, if God didn't love you, he wouldn't tell you if you were doing wrong. He would just leave you to your own devices to like figure it out yourself. But because he loves you so much, he wants to intervene and step in and be like, hey, you're going off track. Let me just point you in the right direction. Like, let's just go on the other side. And I think Paul is doing the exact same thing. He's like, hey guys, like, I love you guys, which is why, because I love you, I'm going to tell you that we're confusing the gospel here, and let's just get on the right track.
And he's challenging consistency as well.
Absolutely.
Like when I was like wounded and I came to you, you took me in and I got to teach you and I got to bring the wisdom I had to you. And like, you would have even gouged your eyes out to look after me.
Like, that's the extent.
And now you're my enemy.
Oh,
like, just because I'm telling you the truth. And I don't know. I think, and even he talks about how it's always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I'm present with you. Like, he's kind of challenging maybe something else in the Galatian church, which is, before you knew me, you welcomed me because you knew him by name. Now you seem to only do good when I'm with you. Like, it looks like you're kind of looking for approval. Oh. But then I tell you truth and you call me the enemy. That's kind of combating the whole approval thing. Because often when we look for validation, you want someone to agree with you and be like, yeah, I'm with you. Mm. I agree with you. I validate your pain. But as soon as someone brings truth and corrects, it's like, you're now the enemy, so I'm going
to... Don't do that.
And he's challenging the consistency. Like, is this church going to be a church that is so caught up in approval to the point where they'll take you in when you're wounded and they'll do good deeds in front of you, but actually when things feel a bit tense and hard, you shut them out rather than continue to like do good things for them? Like, where's the integrity?
And you see that in culture now, like, people will rock with you when, you know, you can validate them or when you make them feel good. But the minute you start to speak truth, everyone's like, ah, they're speaking too loud. Ah, don't listen to this person. All they do is shout. And it's like, we only want to get close to people when it makes us feel good. But actually, like, friction, it's the friction of relationship. Like, we need to lean in when we don't agree or when we're being challenged, because actually that's when we grow.
Yeah.
That's when we get better. That's when we do better. It's the whole like iron sharpening iron, you know, and we hear that scripture all the time. But when two pieces of iron rub together, it's the friction that causes them to change. Mm. And friction isn't necessarily bad. Friction can be healthy, but yeah.
No, it's good.
Yeah, just lean in.
And the other thing is, like, Paul's feeling the pain of this. Describes it as like labor
pains,
like giving birth.
Paul's like mothering right now.
It's like that's a painful thing that he's pointing out. He's not kind of saying, oh, like, I'm happy that you've fallen because then I get to be a savior, or like I get to pull you back up and this is super easy. He's actually like, oh, it actually burdens me so much that it feels like labor. The fact that you've walked away and the fact that you're doing this to me, it just shows that Paul's heart is actually one of caring and on their team. Yeah. As well.
And I think it's interesting that he says it feels like I'm going through labor pains again. Like, yeah. I think the way that I read it was like, Paul was the vessel in which God used to bring the good news to these people. So he already, almost like God used him to birth them into the family of God. Like, he used Paul as like a spiritual mother in kind of like that way. And now because they've lost...
Spiritual mother.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was so rare.
The way I was thinking. But like, God used him as a vessel to like bring these people into God's family because of the gospel, like because they believe in the gospel. Mm. Now that the gospel has been tainted, now Paul has to go through that experience again of bringing them back into that truth that they've run away from. So I think I even feel for Paul in a way, because how do you, how do you go back to like reteach people again? Like, it's like, guys, I told you the first time, now you're not listening. Like, how do I go back? And I think even for Paul, there's a challenge there of not building resentment, you know? Like, just because people forgot once doesn't mean that they're done, doesn't mean that they're annoying, just means they're human and they just need to go again.
Oh, that's good.
And I think there's even a challenge there for like leaders and like even us that are trying to bring our friends along in the faith journey. They're not always going to get things right. They're not always going to remember everything. They're not always going to, but that doesn't mean we give up on people. No, that actually means that we take them by the hand and we go again. Oh, we show so love good. Again.
Amen. Should we look at Hagar and Sarah?
Yes.
21. Will you do some for me? Sorry.
That's so out of character for you. That's crazy.
Although I know that song.
Yeah.
I think I did a TikTok to it once when I was like 15.
Wow.
Anyway.
So bad.
Should we read 21 to 31?
Yeah. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
I'm going to sit and receive as you speak.
Yes. Abraham's two children. Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and the one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempting to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women served as an illustration for God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman and she is our mother. As Isaiah said, "Rejoice, O childless women, you who have never given birth. Break into a joyful shout, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep you in the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what does the scripture say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman." That's a lot of scripture.
That's so beautiful though. When you actually unpack what it means.
There was a lot going on there.
It's so, like, so thanks for staying with us. Do you want to explain a little bit of this story or do you want me to?
I can give it an attempt.
Yeah, go on.
And then if I miss something, you got my back.
I can correct you.
Yeah, you can rebuke me.
On camera.
Rebuke me in love, you know, because, you know, God corrects those he loves. Yeah. All right, cool. So.
Are you calling me God? That's terrible.
God is using you.
God.
We don't do heresy around
here. No, we do not.
So basically in the story of Abraham, or who's also been mentioned in the previous chapter. So maybe for a little bit of background knowledge, it might be good to go back and read in Genesis Abraham's story, because this will help things make sense. Basically, God tells Abraham that he's going to have a son, and Abraham at this point is just like, him and Sarah just not having, like, they're too old to have children. But that's where he had to believe and step into that and be like, you know, I trust you, God. I trust that what you're going to say is going to come to pass. Anyway, time moves on, doesn't happen. So Sarah and Abraham come up with this plan and they're like, well, God says we're going to have a son. It's not happening. So Abraham, if you sleep with Hagar, our servant, and then have the baby, then that's how it's going to come to pass. So he does that. That's how Ishmael is born. But actually, Sarah ends up getting pregnant and having a baby, Isaac. And Isaac is the one that, the promised son, the son that God told Abraham he was going to have. It wasn't Ishmael. And that's the son that they tried to engineer God's promise through. So you've got these two children. And that's kind of like the background of who those people are.
Yeah, it's great. And in this particular, it represents two ways in which we can choose to live out the blessing of God.
Mm-hmm.
We can either choose to, the false way of being with God, which is through Hagar, being a slave, being under the law. And it even says in the scripture, like, this is now what Jerusalem is like. Jerusalem, the holy city that was meant to be free, is under the law. It's under this attempt to fulfill a promise of God or you can choose to step into the inheritance that Isaac got to live in, where it even says like we get to live in the inheritance that Isaac got, which is full blessing, full sonship, and full promise of God. And when you read it again, when you see it through that lens, like, it's just beautiful. And something that made me think about is, just as you were speaking, as you were telling the story, I was thinking like, oh man, Lord, I don't want to choose to be like an Ishmael. I want to learn to live like an Isaac. And I was thinking about it, and I find it bonkers that you can choose to go back. Mm. It's just a little revelation as you were speaking. Like the Galatian church could be bewitched and they could choose to live how they used to. And like, you know, we've said earlier, like, oh, you can choose this way or you can choose this way. But if you actually think about it, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can choose to live under the law and it won't bring any like freedom. Or you have full control as a son. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you have full control as a child of God to choose to step into the promises and the inheritance of Jesus. The full freedom is available to you and it is a choice. And I just think that's beautiful, because I think sometimes when we're walking in the law and we're walking in the shame or the opposite, we're like serving all the time, like we can feel so trapped.
Yeah.
We can feel like there's no option. But there actually is. There is a choice. You can choose to step into the freedom that God has offered. You can choose to step into the Isaac blessing.
Mm. That's really good.
I think I loved how it said that Isaac was the child born by the power of the Spirit, and how we've been talking this whole time about grace through faith and how it's through being set free by Jesus on the cross and like inheriting that promise of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us and all that stuff, how the Holy Spirit like seals our identity as children of God. Like, it's one thing to know, okay, cool, like Jesus died for me, cool, great. But it's another thing to like live in the Spirit and live led by the Holy Spirit, because when we encounter the Holy Spirit, that's almost like the, oh yeah, that's my identity. Like that reminds me, oh yeah, I can encounter God in my everyday, great.
Mm.
And I think like with Isaac was born by the Spirit. Isaac represents that like day-to-day, living it out, living in relationship, like affirmed identity. And I think when we remember that we are children of God and we remember that we can have access to the Holy Spirit and we can have that relationship with God, it reminds us every day who our identity is. Like, we're constantly reminded, like we don't have to live back because we know who we are. And I think it's great. I love that God gives us the Holy Spirit as a constant reminder. Like, I never have to forget who I am, because I know that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I can experience that. Mm. I can pray. I can call out Abba Father. I can encounter the Holy Spirit. And that reminds me, I know whose I am.
Mm.
Like, I know whose I am. And that gives me the freedom to not live as an Ishmael. I can step into that Isaac, live in that.
And it just like another thing that came to mind a bit. I think ways that living under that Ishmael kind of law and trying to like prove for God and work for God, like you can see when you hear the word law, you can see it's like not murdering is trying to earn God's love. And you're like, okay, that's cool. That feels quite distant. But a way that I've seen this kind of like accidentally falling under the law rather than free, like the faith and the freedom outwork is in choices when you pray to God. So for me, I'll have an example. 3 years ago, when I first moved to London, I was living in this little room for like a month, and I was kind of figuring out what to do with my time. I hadn't connected into London yet. I didn't really have any friends. I didn't really like have any community at that point. I'd like stepped into a new community, but it wasn't my home yet. So I had a lot of evenings off. And there was one evening that I stepped out of my room and I was like, oh, I want to watch a film. But also I know there's this prayer meeting going on with a community that I'd love to kind of touch base with. Okay, do I watch a film and stay in and eat chocolate? Or do I go out to the prayer meeting? God, what's the right decision to do? And in my head, I'd go back and forth. Sometimes I'd feel, go to the prayer meeting. Sometimes I'd feel, just lay in your bed and eat chocolate. And I was like, oh Lord, what do I do? What do I do? I'm not like not murdering to earn God's love, but I am trying to do the right thing in order to earn God's love. So I'm like kind of going in a bit of a spiral, like, Lord, do you want me to do this or this? Like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And so I end up going to the station, to the like train station. And I stand outside the station for an hour and a half, debating back and forth in my head whether I should go, because what's God's will for me?
Wow.
What does God want me to do? And I think about that time, and it's one quite funny. Like, I just stood outside for an hour and a half, didn't make a choice. But I was acting as an orphan. I was acting under the law because I was desperate to figure out what God wanted and what would please God and what's the right thing for God. And what it ended up with me doing, when I was actually, my heart was to please God and do the right thing for God, but it ended up keeping me stuck somewhere.
Mm.
And it ended up me being a slave to like get God's approval rather than living in the freedom of sonship.
Yeah.
Like, what, looking back on that time, I should have just made a choice and been like, God, thank you that you give me permission to be a son of the house. And sometimes that'll include a prayer meeting, and sometimes that'll involve lying in bed. But I trust that you're in control and that you're watching over my life and that I'm not going to displease you by being a son and doing something I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that creep into a lot of my life and a lot of my friends' life. Like, I had a brunch with someone the other day. That sounds very bougie, doesn't it?
I love brunch.
Do you love brunch?
Brunch is great.
Brunch is great. Agreed.
Arguably my favorite meal.
Really?
Yeah, of like breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner.
Well, the thing is, I sometimes wake up so late that my breakfast is my lunch.
It's
like
brunch.
Wake up at 10 a.m. and it's like, put the eggs on. This is basically brunch.
Yeah,
now.
At this point, yeah.
But I was having a brunch with him, and he was saying that this morning, that morning, he was like, oh Lord, I want to spend time with you, but can I have a shower before I spend time with you? Like, should I have a shower before, or should I just, you're my first love, you're my first devotion, I'll seek first the kingdom of God. But I kind of feel, should I have a shower first? And like, and he was actually talking about Galatians 4, and he was saying, I had to stop in that moment and be like, actually, I'm looking for God's approval and I'm living under the law again. I'm choosing the Ishmael way. I'm not living in the promise and the freedom that was on Isaac's life and on our life as inheritors.
Yeah.
I'm living under the law, trying to approve, get approval from God, get validation from God, do the right thing for God. And I think that narrative can actually go on in people's heads more than people think. God, what's the right thing? I'm going to make sure I do the right thing, rather than just being and being like, I'm a son or daughter of God. I can step into the freedom of choosing what I want to do with my time and choosing to live in communion with God, wherever that may be. And yeah, I say those two examples to show that the law seems like quite distant, and it seems like this, you know, murder or having an affair, which feel very distant, but actually it can affect our daily thinking quite easily. And so there's an invitation for us as Christians. Do we choose to live under the Ishmael way, or do we choose the Jesus way or the Isaac way?
Mm.
And when we step under that blessing, we see full freedom.
And I think also that links to your understanding of God as well, because I remember when I was younger, I used to think that God was like this tyrannical figure that just wanted to put all these rules to wait for me to trip up and, you've not done that right. So I guess you're going to have to pray a million times before you can come close to me. And like, we can become sons and daughters of that. And if I'm a son or a daughter of that tyrant, like a tyrant, I'm going to feel oppressed. I'm going to feel like, wow, I'm trapped here. Like, so I think even the identity of knowing you're a son or a daughter, but to who?
Yeah.
So who are you a son or a daughter to? Because that will affect how you view this relationship.
Mm.
If I'm a son or a daughter to a God that just wants to see me trip up, I'm never going to come to him. And when I come to him, I'm going to feel like I'm not worthy to be here. I'm going to second guess it. Whereas if I see him as Abba, like as Abba Father, there's that intimate relationship there. Like, I'm going to step into that freedom. And when it comes to making decisions, I know that my Abba's got me. Like, my tyrannical father doesn't have me. Like he doesn't have what's best, my best interests at heart, but my Abba Father does.
Hey.
And I think that is so beautiful.
Mm.
And I love that image that Paul uses, because it reminds us that God is so close. Like he isn't distant, because he's not a rule setter. Like he is our Abba Father. And it goes back to like the thing of the cross, like remembering what Jesus did on the cross. He died so that the curtain in the temple was torn.
Yeah.
We have access to God. Like we can come so close to him with our mistakes, with our confusion, with our God, I don't know what decision to make. We can bring that to God because he is our Abba and he's got our back.
Oh, it's so good. We're coming into land because we run out of time. But there's just one thing I thought when you said that.
Okay, go bring it. Good. Bring it.
In verse 6, it says, because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts that cry out, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the spirit of his son is in our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. There's actually something in us innately which is desperate for God the Father. And so to reject that, or to see Abba Father as a tyrant and to see it as distant, and actually to choose not to like, I don't know, cry out to God, is actually to reject something that you're designed for and that is inside you.
Mm.
It's actually to reject something that God has put inside of you, a need that God has put inside of you. To not cry out to God as Abba, it's so damaging.
Yeah.
It's like you're actually not living in the fulfillment of how you were created to be.
Absolutely.
You're not living in the design that God has for you. It's not just, oh, like I'll not choose him and then I'll figure it out one day. This is how you're made. This is, if you are a believer of God, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. It is a part of your nature to need Abba Father.
Absolutely.
And if you're choosing to reject that, oh, it's going to be damaging. That's
long,
all. That's,
long day.
It's the last little point I got.
Long day.
Wrap up, or have you got any final?
No, just be encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Be encouraged that like God's drawing near. He wants to know you. That is what Paul said. It's not that we know him, it's that he knows us actually.
Mm.
Like God wants to know you. He wants to be a part of your everyday, and just invite him in, invite him into the mess, the confusion, the God, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me make this decision.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you're on this like rat race, but actually you're in relationship with God. With your Abba.
So good. Guys, thank you for joining us on the Way UK podcast. Join us next week for Galatians 5.
Ooh.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye.